Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Roger read a portion that was David's prayer as the offering for the new temple is received. And now I'm going to read from 1 Kings. This is his charge to his son Solomon. When David's time to die drew near, he charged his son Solomon, saying, "I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong, be courageous, keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." And then from 1 Chronicles again. "And you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with single mind and willing heart. For the Lord searches every mind and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will abandon you forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house as a sanctuary. Be strong and act." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. I don't think you can read this. Maybe Jennifer can in the front row. My kids gave me this. Can you read what's on top here? "Over the hill." That's what my kids think of me. Over the hill. But when I was 30, my kids thought I was over the hill too. And it's usually thought of as a put down. But I think there's something about that metaphor that's actually very appropriate. Over the hill. Over the hill. You know, later life does have its drawbacks. Our legs aren't quite as strong as when we were first climbing that hill. And we run out of breath sometimes on the way up. And I think coming down the hill, being older, we have to watch how we place our feet on the way down. But there's also a compensation there. And that when we're over the hill, when we've reached the peak and we're over the hill, we have a view of the panorama. We can see the distant hills, we can see the horizon, and sometimes that's very breathtaking. Over the hill, there's a view there that you don't get before because the slope is in the way. Now, this morning we're sort of finishing up our sermons on David. We're dealing with the time when he was over the hill. And if you remember, the story of David in 1 and 2 Samuel is really the granddaddy to the Game of Thrones. You think, I don't know, does anybody here watch that? Our kids say, "No, you don't want to watch that." Yeah. Does anybody, will anybody admit to watching it?
As
I see him smiling there. Yeah. But I mean, this the story of David is really the granddaddy to the story of David. It's as wild and woolly as it gets. But David, in his later years, he faced problems within his family. And one thing that would just cut him to the quick was the rebellion of his son Absalom. And if you remember what happened, his son Absalom, who he loved in his own way, his son rebelled against him, led a military coup against him. And the son in that rebellion almost won, came very close to winning. But finally he was killed in battle. And this cut David to the quick. And there's that famous speech that David gives, you know, my son Absalom, Absalom, oh Absalom. Would that I had died instead of you, oh Absalom, my son. And that's where Faulkner gets the title of his book, you know, Absalom, Absalom. David lived for 10 years after that. And it's during this period, that 10-year period that we want to look at today. How did David handle being over the hill? Because the time came now when he was no longer able to go out and lead his troops in battle. How did he handle it? Over the hill. I think one thing David had, even in his later years, was a purpose, a vision, a outlook on the future, something he wanted to accomplish, something that he wanted to do. And what he wanted to do in his later years was to build a temple to honor God. This is what he wanted to do with the generations that would follow him. And he brought to Jerusalem the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments, and he made Jerusalem the sort of religious as well as political center of the country. He established schools of sacred music. Remember, he himself was a musician. He plays the lyre. This was what he wanted to do, to build that temple in honor of God for those who would come after him. And you know the way life is. It gets complicated. And God said to him, you know, no way. You're not going to build a temple. You've been a man of war. There's blood on your hands. Those that come after you will do it. And it's good for you to have thought about it, but you're not going to do it. Now, what do you do when what you really want to accomplish can't be done? When the door is closed on you in your closing years? When God says no? It's interesting what David does. He doesn't give up. But he readjusts his vision for the future. He doesn't give up on the temple, but now what he does, he can't build it himself, but he makes sure that those who come after him will build it. And he begins to gather building materials. He brings in highly skilled technicians for the construction, and he has this very generous and successful stewardship campaign with the tribes to raise money for the construction of the temple. If he couldn't do it, he's going to make sure that the preparations are there for those who come after him to do it. Sometimes in life, you know, we have our visions, our dreams of what can happen. They don't quite work out the way we planned, but they still have a place in our lives. Sometimes we have to make adjustments. And I think there's a story that kind of describes David's attitude. And this is a story about the Roman Emperor Hadrian. Hadrian was riding, making a visit to Galilee in Israel. And he sees this old guy digging a deep trench. And he comes over and he says to the old guy, "What are you doing?" And he says, I'm planting fruit trees, fig trees. And the emperor says to him, "You know, if you had been more responsible in your younger years, you wouldn't have to work so hard in the evening of your life." And the man says, "You know, I've valued labor all my days." "How old are you?" 100 years. And the emperor thinks a bit and he says, "You're 100 years old and you expect to see the fruit of your labor? You expect to see those trees?" And the old man answered, "No, but my ancestors planted trees for me. And can't I do the same for those who will come after me? My ancestors planted trees for me. Can't I do the same for those who come after me?" There's something, again, as we are on that downward slope, our attention changes a little bit from getting on ourselves and just thinking of our own selves and getting as many toys as we can along the way. The attention shifts a bit to what can we do for other people, not just ourselves. And I think as we sit here this morning, David's action raises a question for us. What is our vision? What is the fig tree or the temple preparations that we're thinking about? What are our dreams as a church, as an individual, as a community? What is our hope, not just for ourselves and getting ahead, but what does it mean for our reaching out for other people? I think that's David. It switches for him. On the other side of the mountain, as he's going down the hill, he sees the countryside. He sees a view that he hadn't seen before. Down the hill. Have we got it? Yes. Yeah. There's another thing about David, and that is, again, his attention to his son and the charge he gives to the son. He wants, and you know, for all the Game of Thrones and everything that surrounds him, he's a very religious man. And the one thing he really wants to pass on to Solomon is his faith. You know, what do we want our children to have? What's been most important in our lives? You know, and I think for David, it's not just living for ourselves, but to have our children living for something that's much greater than themselves. I once had a man in a church, and this is very unusual today. I had a man who took his daughter to college for the first time. Let her off and everything. And the mother cried and so forth, but he didn't. But after he got back home, he sent her a note. And that note went through a lot of stuff, but toward the end he said this. He said, I'm very grateful to my own parents for the gift that they gave me. And that was a faith to live by, a faith in God. And it's your mom's and my hope that, you know, this would be passed on to you as well. Did you notice the power of David's words to his son Solomon? He said, you know the God of your father and serve him with a simple mind and a willing heart. God searches the mind and he understands every thought and prayer. And if you seek him, he will be found by you. If you seek him, he will be found by you. You can't get much more powerful than that, can you? The passing on of the faith. Over the hill. Coming down that hill. With a broad vision. You know, it's said that as we grow older, perhaps a wisdom comes that we didn't have earlier. And I know there's no fool like an old fool too, but there is a wisdom that sort of comes as we begin to see that horizon and that view that perhaps we hadn't seen before. And I'd like to read something that was written by a 90-year-old woman. And this was taken from a Smith College magazine some time ago. But listen to her words, okay? 90 years old she is. I can remember when I thought that 90 years was quite a lot. But I've concluded that it's not, since I've turned 90. Before that time, you've been erratic, full of bunk and prunes and static. There's not much wisdom in your attic before you're 90. Your judgment's often in reverse. Your self-control is even worse. In fact, you almost need a nurse until you're 90. Just keep your dream this day, forsooth. Just keep faith in love and truth, and you'll still be enjoying youth long after 90. You hear her? Over the hill. David over the hill had a vision. And he had to adjust that with the later years, but he still kept that. And we can keep our dreams too, though we may have to readjust them. He was a religious man for all the throne of, you know, for all the activity that was going on in his time. And the one thing he found most important that he wanted to give Solomon was a living faith. And in that, you know, not just living for yourself, but for something greater than yourself. And that lay the wisdom. For him, the real meaning of life, amidst all the commotion, amidst all the conniving, is really a relationship with God. That's what it's all about. That's his wisdom. Over the hill. The passage that Roger read said that David served as king for 40 years. He died full of days and full of riches and honor. that he went over the hill, to his God. Amen.